It is a privilege to be here today, passing on to you not only the teachings of my great teacher, Shunryu Suzuki Roshi, but by passing on the meaning of his teachings, giving meaning to the practice of all of the great Buddhist ancestors, all the way back to Shakyamuni Buddha. Today, this talk on Bodhidharma's sixth precept, no dwelling on past mistakes. This is not one of our current precepts, which is so interesting. And there's one more Bodhidharma precept, I think it's the last one, that we don't have as one of our precepts. So we had a series on precepts. I think it was the fourth series. And in that series, we did all 16, but the 10 grave precepts are these Bodhidharma precepts that we're doing. And this one is not in that list of 10. So the spirit of the precept is think carefully before speaking, acting, thereby, instead of mistakes, offering good actions, thoughts, and speech. So I guess maybe in this spirit of breaking out of our precept series or something, I would like to offer an entirely different kind of talk today. Instead of telling you about the precept, I'm going to put you right inside of a situation requiring thinking carefully before speaking and acting, and ask that you to think carefully before speaking and acting, that you would think about what you would do if you were this person in the situation that I'm going to present. It's one of those problems that could easily result in dwelling on past mistakes if it weren't handled properly. So first of all, here's the precept. Self-nature is mysteriously profound. In the midst of unmistakable truth, not to speak of past mistakes is called the precept of no speaking of past mistakes. So here again, Bodhidharma stresses that the nature of the self is mysteriously profound. Though there's no way of understanding it, we must continually try. That's implied. In the midst of unmistakable truth means that within the realm of ultimate truth, there are no mistakes. So in the realm of ultimate truth, he calls it unmistakable truth. That means the truth has no mistakes in it. In this realm, referred to by Dogen as the great brightness, there's no place for mistakes. Therefore, from an ultimate truth standpoint, speaking of past mistakes is delusional. So that said, this story told by Dogen, according to notes taken by his assistant Ajo, and I hope you remember Ajo. Ajo is the one who so wants to be Dogen's assistant that once he was assigned to be Dogen's assistant, he kept that job for the entire life of Dogen. Even though he had other jobs, he would still be Dogen's assistant. And then after Dogen died, Ajo wanted to continue to be his assistant. And even after Ajo died, Ajo wanted to continue always to be Dogen's assistant. He had himself buried right at the foot of Dogen's grave without any marker of his own, so that he was just Dogen's assistant, period. So I just honor that so much. And it's Ajo who took the notes of the story that I'm about to tell you as Dogen was speaking. And it pertains to Dogen's Japanese Zen teacher, Myo Zen, with whom he went to China, where he met Ruijing, his final teacher, under whose guidance he attained awakening. So this story begins right before Dogen and Myo Zen were supposed to leave Japan for China. So again, this is Dogen speaking, and we know what he said because of Ajo's notes. So this is what Ajo writes. This is Dogen speaking. Just think of it that way. When my late master, preceptor Myo Zen, was about to go to Song, China, his original master, Karya Myoyu, on Mount Hiei, became seriously ill and was close to death. At that time, Master Myoyu said, "I am descending into old age and sickness. My death must be near at hand. You alone must take care of me in my aging and sickness and see me off when I depart on the dark road. For now, put off going to China for a while, and after my death, carry out your true intention." And Dogen continues, "At that time, my late master Myo Zen called his disciples and fellow practitioners together to discuss this matter. He said, 'Since I left my parents' home in my childhood, I have been brought up under this master's protection and educated by him until reaching my present maturity. In worldly terms, I have a most heavy debt of gratitude. Also, I have studied the Dharma gates that are beyond the worldly realm, such as the verbal teachings of Mahayana and Hinayana, and the provisional as well as the genuine teachings.'" He means both conventional and ultimate truth teachings. "I have come to understand the principle of causes and results and learned right from wrong. I have surpassed my fellow students and gained honor. Now I understand the truth of the Buddha Dharma and aspire to go to China and seek the Dharma. This has all been enabled solely by my master's kind nurturing. However, this year he has become seriously ill due to old age, and he is lying on his deathbed. We do not know how much longer he can live. If I leave now, I cannot expect to meet him again. Therefore, he strongly urges me to postpone my plan. It is difficult to disobey my master's request. Now I am about to go to China to seek the Dharma without holding my life dear." That means it is a very difficult and risky venture to sail those particular seas, and the ship may well not make it to China at all. So this is what "without holding my life dear" means. this derives from, so he, Dogen continues, Dogen's is quoting his master Myozen, this derives from great bodhisattva compassion for the sake of benefiting living beings. So he's going strictly for the sake of benefiting beings. Is there any reason to disobey my master and go to the land of Song China? Each of you, please tell me what you think. So remember that he has surpassed his fellow students and gained honor. So if nothing else, to Myozen right now, this is a teaching moment, even for his peers. So he's gathered his disciples as well as his peers, whom he has surpassed and gained honor. And so he could be thinking of it as a teaching moment. So he said, each of you, please tell me what you think. He's already said the situation. At that time, each and every one of them said, give up journeying to China this year. His aging and sickness are already critical, and he will surely die. Giving up your plan this year and going to China next year would be the most appropriate course of action. You would neither go against your master's request nor disregard your great debt of gratitude to him. There is nothing wrong with postponing your trip to China for one or half a year. It would not go against the true intention of the master-disciple relationship. And still, you would be able to realize your true intention to go to China. So the true intention of the master-disciple relationship is for the master to help the disciple gain emancipation and attain the way. So all of his disciples and peers are saying, this would, by staying, you would not go against the true intention of the master-disciple relationship. And still you would be able to realize your true intention to go to China, but you'd have to do it later. So each and every one said, go, give up your journey to China now. And at that time, as the least senior monk, I, Dogen, said, so Dogen was the least senior of everybody here. He said, if you think that your realization of the Buddha Dharma is what it should be, you should put off your trip to China. My late master said, that's Myozen, that is so. I think that the practice of the Buddha Dharma should be like this. If I continuously practice in this way, I think I will be released from samsara, which by samsara, he means the continuous cycles of birth and death. It sounds like he felt he might be close to that. I don't know what that might feel, but it sounds like, I mean, he says, if I continuously practice in this way, I think I will be released from samsara. He seems to feel confident of that. I, Dogen, said, if you think so, you should stay. And notice that Dogen takes a different tact. All the others were focused on debts of gratitude and what seemingly would be the best for Myozen's teacher. But Dogen was focused on the state of Myozen's realization. Just notice that. So then back to the master. After all of us expressed our opinions, this is Dogen, after all of us expressed our opinions, my late master, Myozen, said, all of you agree that I should stay. My opinion, my intention differs. My intention differs. Even if I put off my trip this time, one who is certain to die will not prolong his life. Also, by my remaining here, taking care of him in his sickness and looking after him. His pain and suffering will not cease. Also, simply because I took care of him before his death would not mean that he would definitely be able to depart from life and death. He means from samsara, the continuous death and rebirth cycles from which enlightenment relieves us from that. So, but Meo Zen is saying that just because I took care of him before his death doesn't mean that he would depart from samsara, basically. There would only be short-lived happiness from following his request. This would be entirely useless for gaining emancipation and attaining the way. To mistakenly hinder my then this is a really important point. To mistakenly hinder my aspiration to seek the Dharma would be a cause and condition of unwholesome karma. And he means that if his teacher hinders his aspiration to seek the Dharma, it would be very bad karma for him, the teacher, especially since it is the opposite of what the Dharma master is supposed to do. And then Meo Zen continues, on the other hand, if I carry out my aspiration to go to China to seek the Dharma and gain a bit of realization, even though it goes against one person's defiled feelings, defiled is because they come from attachment, it will become a cause for attaining the way for many people. Because I'm inserting these things, because he would teach, and by virtue of teaching, by virtue of his teaching, help many to arouse bodhicitta, if not awakening itself. So from his teaching, many people could be benefited. And then he says, if this merit is greater, it will help to repay the debt of gratitude to my master. So if going to China and helping many people at least arouse bodhicitta, if not attain awakening, this would be an even greater repayment of my debt of gratitude to my teacher. And also the master's role is to teach such that the disciple surpasses him and goes on to be an even greater teacher and help even more suffering sentient beings. This is a built-in as part of what a Zen master is supposed to do with his disciples, to train him, to surpass him, to pass even him. It's called stand on the shoulders of your teacher. So this is kind of a built-in prescription for what a Zen teacher has to do for his disciples. And then Meo Zen continues, we should remember the Tripitaka master Xuanzang, his traces, vainly spending time which is easily lost for the sake of one person would not be in accordance with the Buddha's will. Therefore, I have firmly resolved to go to China now. Having said this, in the end, he went to China. Dogen continues, for my late master, meaning Meo Zen, the true mind of awakening is this kind of mental attitude. This being the case, today's students should also not spend their time in vain, involved in useless things for the sake of their parents or masters. He's referring to monks who have left their home. We should not spend our time setting aside the superior Buddha way. He means we must keep our mind steadily on attaining enlightenment for the benefit of all beings, which is the Bodhisattva path. And enlightenment is actually the way to help all beings the best. Once you're enlightened, you can truly help many, many beings. So, okay, so now this next piece is really important. It's very profound. So at that time, Ajo asked, so this is Ajo, for the sake of truly seeking the Dharma, we must eliminate the contaminants that exist caused by our obligations to our parents and masters. It is just as you say. And he's referring to monks, those who have left home to seek the Dharma. However, although we completely renounce our obligations and affection for our parents and others, when we aspire to bodhisattva practice, we should still put aside personal benefit and put primary importance on benefiting others. If so, if an aged person were seriously ill and no one but I could nurse them, if I only thought of my own practice without helping them, it would seem to go against bodhisattva practice, would it not? Also, a mahasattva should not avoid carrying out wholesome actions. Should we not consider the Buddha Dharma according to circumstances and the particular situation? For these reasons, should we not go and help such a person? What do you think? This is very wonderful that Ajo just straight out said everything he needed to say to Dogen. So Dogen instructed, this is Dogen, whether acting for the benefit of others or practicing for ourselves, the good practice of a mahasattva is to abandon what is inferior and to take what is superior. To care for sick and aged parents in poverty is only a temporary pleasure arising from illusory love and deluded sentiment in this brief life. If we go against our defiled sentiments, and sentiments, by the way, they're always defiled because they are not ultimate truths. So if we go against our defiled sentiments and study the way of non-action, that is Zazen, the way of non-action, even though we may be resented by others, it will bring about a positive connection beyond the mundane world. And he's referring to enlightenment, from which standpoint we can be vastly more helpful to sentient beings. So then Dogen ends, consider this well, consider this well. So I'd like to add that. So that's the end of that. And I'd like to add two pieces of information that I've read in other accounts of this journey that Dogen made with his teacher, plus two or three other of his teacher's disciples. I think there were about five of them. So Mio Zen and four of his disciples. That's what I'm kind of getting. And so these two other things I want to mention may influence your thinking on this matter. One is that I read somewhere that merchant ships, as their ship was likely to be, unlike passenger ships that were much more expensive, had no regularity to their schedule. So it could easily have been a year or even 2 years before a similar opportunity arose for them. So that's one thing. And also, and this is just me thinking now, as it turned out, Mio Zen died only 2 years later. And I can't help but wonder if he had a premonition of early death or even an imminent death, and therefore felt that he couldn't put off this critical trip. So Mio Zen died just at the time when Dogen was meeting Ruijing, So they were, imagine this, they spent 2 years in China searching for a true teacher. And when finally, when Dogen met Ru Jing, at the very end, they were about to go back to Japan, you know, with their needs not met. At that point, they met Ru Jing right at that moment. Mio Zhen died. Dogen stayed with Ru Jing 2.5 years, during which time he attained enlightenment, he received Dharma transmission, and then he returned to Japan. That same year, Ru Jing died. And Dogen himself only lived 53 years. He went to China in his mid-20s. So for your reflection during the week, here's the question about which it would be good for you not only to think, but write down your pros and cons. The reason is that especially the cons, the reasons for going to China despite his master's request, pertain directly to your understanding of the Dharma. That's why I want you to really think about this question and write down your pros and cons, because it will help you to really consider serious Dharma questions and test your understanding. So notice that Mio Zhen, who said that he had surpassed his fellow students and gained honor, was alone in his viewpoint. He's the only one who thought that he should go. Dogen's view was a close second. If you think that your realization of the Buddha Dharma is what it should be, you should put off your trip to China. So that, in that it featured Mio Zhen's state of realization over his attachment to his teacher and normal human protocol. And Mio Zhen agreed to this in principle, but he went much further in his thinking before acting, landing on preferencing the opportunity of advancing in the way and possibly awakening. So to review, here are the personal and relational points made by Mio Zhen. There's three of them. First, since I left my parents' home in my childhood, I have been brought up under this master's protection and educated by him until reaching my present maturity. In worldly terms, I have a most heavy debt of gratitude. That's one. Also, I have studied the Dharma gates that are beyond the worldly realm, such as the verbal teachings of Mahayana and Hinayana, and the provisional as well as the genuine teachings, conventional as well as ultimate truth teachings. I have come to understand the principle of causes and results and learned right from wrong. I have surpassed my fellow students and gained honor. Now I understand the truth of the Buddha Dharma and aspire to go to China to seek the Dharma. This has all been enabled solely by my master's kind nurturing. However, this year he has become seriously ill due to old age, and he is lying on his deathbed. We do not know how much longer he can live. If I leave now, I cannot expect to meet him again. Therefore, he strongly urges me to postpone my plan, and it is difficult to disobey his request. Okay, those are the personal and relational points made by Mio Zhen. And so now I'm going to give you the Dharma points that he made and then the points that the disciples made. The Dharma points Mio Zhen made is, if I carry out my aspiration to go to China, and seek the Dharma and gain a bit of realization, even though it goes against one person's defiled feelings, it will become a cause for attaining the way for many people. That's one. If this merit is greater, it will help to repay the debt of gratitude to my master. And the implication is it'll help even more, way more. It will help, let's say, way more to repay his debt of gratitude than simply assisting him in his death, in which he cannot stop the death and he cannot really stop the pain and suffering either. Then thirdly, this is a really big one. Even if I die while crossing the ocean and fail to accomplish my original intention, because I will have died with the aspiration of seeking the Dharma, my vow will not cease in a future life. Then fourth and last, we should remember the Tripitaka master Xuan Zang's traces, vainly spending time which is easily lost for the sake of one person would not be in accordance with the Buddha's will. So, and we have some complaints about that one from Ajo. So here are some points made by his disciples when he asked for their opinions. Give up the journey to China. His aging and sickness are already critical and he will surely die. Give up your plan and go next year. You would neither go against your master's request nor disregard your great gratitude to him. And there's nothing wrong with postponing your trip to China for one or half a year. It would not go against the true intention of the master-disciple relationship, and still you would be able to realize your true intention to go to China. You could just go later. So, let's see. Oh, and then Dogen said, if you think that your realization of the Buddha Dharma is what it should be, you should put off your trip to China. But this is kind of a loaded statement in that Niozen is not enlightened, so he could not possibly think that his realization of the Buddha Dharma is what it should be. So in a way, that whole thing that Dogen said, and Niozen just kind of was half-hearted, and he didn't give a strong answer to that. So, okay, we have more time than usual for questions, and please ask whatever you want, and I do want you, if you possibly can, spare the time to really reflect on this issue. And I think that Miozen, follow Miozen's example. He not only reflected, but he gave it to the whole assembly to reflect on and give him feedback. And I would like to hear from you what you're thinking now about this matter, which could easily lead to lifelong dwelling on a past mistake. It could easily lead to that. All right, so I'll let you think for a few minutes and then we can go for questions. So I wonder if you have questions.
Yes, Gail. So there's one question that we have is Bodhidharma is asking us to be very intentional about our speech, thoughts, and actions. I understand that to be one of the points of training in a monastery or any other communal training situation. Before we do that, or even just being young, we do not have good judgment and make many mistakes with our speech, thoughts, and actions. These mistakes might have affected many others in a negative way. Are we really not supposed to regret those behaviors? How will we learn from them if we don't process them because we regret them?
I know. I think that, first of all, it's really important to remember, and it doesn't take very much effort, to remember that we can't live by ultimate truths. We have to live by conventional truths. So I don't really understand when Dogen says, take the superior way, not the inferior way. And the superior way would be the ultimate truth way. And the inferior way would be the conventional truth way. But we have to live by convention. That's all we have. We have the present moment. And that's just grounded in our personal circumstances. So we do need to reflect on our behavior and learn, especially reflect so that we learn from our behavior, so that we behave as considerately and kindly and compassionately at all times. But that said, let's just say we asked Dogen, what should we do? Or even Bodhidharma, they might say, all of this life that you've lived, making mistakes, the only important thing was that it got you finally to the Dharma. And now that you're studying the Dharma, that's the only important thing. And rather than waste time processing your mistakes, this is something they might say, rather than waste time processing your mistakes, you can make confession. That's how you can deal with your mistakes. You can make confession, and that would deal with even more mistakes. That would deal with all of the mistakes you've made in your whole life, plus even mistakes you've made in previous lives. Plus, while you were doing that, you could spend your time sitting zazen, the way of no action. And instead of dwelling on past mistakes and feeling remorse, which really does nothing, but kind of waste time. That's the implication, is remorse and dwelling on past mistakes is a waste of time, your precious human life. So the other thing is, don't forget that at a certain point, our alaya storehouse of junk, of everything we've ever done, possibly in all of our lifetimes, with enough positive input, like enough zazen or enough correct behavior, following all the precepts, put it that way, enough, non-breaking of the precepts, wholesome action, various ways to put this. The Elia storehouse changes to wisdom instead of junk. It goes from junk to wisdom. And then it's a tremendous benefit to us. Once that turns to wisdom, I imagine that's when we're enlightened. I'm not sure. I don't know about that. But that's the teaching, is that the Elia will change to wisdom. And that's from all of our efforts to follow the precepts and gain understanding and awareness and awakening. So let's see. We just have to keep thinking about this. It's like the best thing is what Suzuki Roshi said, not always so. There, in Buddhism, as soon as you say one thing, there's the opposite, and it's also true. And so Suzuki Roshi just said, you know, nothing is always so in Buddhism. And even for Dogen, he can say one thing one moment with his way, and then the complete opposite the next moment. And he has done so also. So I hope that answers this very good question. We certainly don't want to stop processing our mistakes and learning from our mistakes, and then we can dismiss them. We don't need to dwell on them. Okay, thank you. I hope that helps.
Thank you, Gail. So another question that we have is, why would Ajo's teacher even ask him to stay, since everything in your talk points to him going to China?
I know. I mean, actually, my thought was that Ajo's teacher, Mio Zen's teacher, when even on his deathbed, if Mio Zen, and not if, I'm sure he did, tell him why he's going to China, as his teacher, he should be proud of him and sort of like, you know, I'm going to die anyway, you should go. That should have been his attitude. It doesn't sound like that was his attitude, but it's, to me, it feels like that would be the correct attitude of his teacher, of, I'm proud of you, Mio Zen, for getting there, that you really understood. In a way, I mean, Mio Zen's teacher could have said, I was just testing you to see if you're how strong your understanding was. And now you're showing me that you really understand. And, you know, you definitely have my blessings to go, you know, as soon as the ship arrives. And I wish you the best journey. Something that should have been the spirit. And it could have been, as far as we know, we don't know what happened. But this is all my thinking. And so it sounds like you're thinking the same thing. Yeah, Mio Zen's teacher should not have discouraged him from seeking the Dharma. It's all the wise ones in Japan kind of knew that Japan just didn't have the depth of understanding that teachers in China had. But lo and behold, there were hardly any teachers in China either that had understanding, as Dogen found out. Okay, thank you very much. Are there any?
So somebody else asked two questions, and the first one you kind of answered. I'd still ask the questions that they asked. Shouldn't Mio Zen have assumed that his master's request was a teaching, and that if followed would lead to enlightenment? Also, I had thought that Zen masters were already enlightened. I guess this isn't true, but how common is or isn't it for a master to be enlightened?
That's a super good question. And it doesn't sound like Mio Zen's teacher was enlightened. And this was the problem in Japan. Actually, from the reading that I've done, Dogen was crazy about Mio Zen, his teacher, who he was not enlightened, and that's why he was passionate about going to China to find a teacher who could help him awaken. And I don't know whether Mio Zen had enough time with Ruijing to become enlightened before he died. I've never read that he did. I think what happened is that they found Ruijing at the very end of their being together, their travels in China, and then Ruijing, Mio Zen died right then, and then Dogen had 2.5 years more with Ruijing. Ruijing was definitely enlightened. Now, here's what I don't understand. It is strongly insisted in all of the scriptures and the Buddhist text that understanding is transmission is given one to one. It's one to one. And so one enlightened Zen master transmits it's really like an acknowledgement. You know, I acknowledge your enlightenment. That's what transmission is. It's not like something is given to somebody, that anything is actually given. It's like, I see you. I, an enlightened being, see you, another enlightened being. So this is how the model was Buddha and Mahakasyapa. And the story goes that Buddha said something. I'm not good at these things. Buddha said something and then smiled. And Buddha said something and to his assembly, and Mahakasyapa smiled. And Buddha saw him understand what he said. Buddha saw the depth of his understanding. Like in that moment, Mahakasyapa, I think, attained enlightenment, hearing Buddha say whatever he said. So Mahakasyapa is Buddha's first disciple. And this is one-to-one. And apparently all of the ancestors are one-to-one, one-to-one, one-to-one. But then you look around today and it's not clear. It's not clear. It feels like there are many Zen masters who are not enlightened. It really does feel that way. And so I just don't know. I just don't know how to answer that question. It also, though, feels the Zen masters that I know personally do carry a kind of understanding that's definitely beyond me, for example. But whether that's enlightenment, I just don't know. Just while I'm yakking away here, when I was studying Tibetan Buddhism, my Tibetan Buddhist teacher, Adzenpelo Rinpoche, was definitely enlightened. There was absolutely no question about that. And his spirit was gigantic, not just large, but even gigantic doesn't hold the power, his huge power. And I've not experienced that with Zen masters, so I just don't know. I guess that's all I can say.
Thank you, Gail. The next question we have is, one thing I know is that a lot of spiritual practitioners use spiritual bypassing to deal with emotional and psychological issues. They have obviously not examined themselves carefully and have real shadow sides that get in everybody's way. If we, as soon as we find the Dharma, ignore our past mistakes, we might easily fall into this spiritual bypassing syndrome. What are your thoughts on it?
Yes. I had one of my Zen teachers early on refuse to go to therapy, even though he had a lot of issues. And he just thought, you know, sitting will do everything. And there is a stream of teaching in Zen, actually. There's a stream. Well, Dogen was like, you know, just sit. That's all. Just sit. That's all. Just sit. And maybe then that was, I just don't know. That's another thing. I just don't know if the monks just seem to live such a monk life that all they had to do was behave properly in the monastery. I don't know. But I do know that from my experience with this one Zen master, who had a huge shadow side that just spilled over many, many things. It was really irritating that he refused to go to therapy. And I feel like there's nothing wrong. I sound like Mio Zen's disciples. There's nothing wrong with going to therapy and also being a Zen student. You know, therapy doesn't harm enlightenment or awakening. It seems like it would help it, actually. The one thing I just want to make sure to make the point of, when we process our mistakes, we should grow from them and become a better person. It's not mulling around in our mistakes and just moaning and groaning about them. That is not useful. So if you get anything from this talk today, the moaning and groaning about past mistakes is definitely not prescribed. But I think we could go one step further in saying, examining your past mistakes, learning from them, and becoming a better person from them, so that later your speech, action, and thought will be improved. That certainly is recommended. So I think that's what I think. Spiritual bypassing is really dangerous, and it's all over the place. And so we must be very cautious about that. That's my answer.
Thank you, Gail. Next one we have is, I understand Dogen's point about basically taking the high road in all circumstances, but that didn't address his assistant Eero's point that there is no one high road. We are always supposed to take the details of each and every circumstance in consideration before deciding what to do. We've learned that in Buddhism, each circumstance has its own requirements. Dogen's response seemed to sweep right over that.
I know. He just didn't, you know, this, he's taking the high road. You can say that, but we only have the low road. That's just how it is. We can't live by an ultimate truth. Living by an ultimate truth is a sure recipe for spiritual bypassing. It's a sure recipe for spiritual bypassing. Well, da-da. And so, you know, so I'm just going to ignore what's right in front of me. So I guess the way we should live is this way we've been talking about right along, which is according to conventional reality with the view of ultimate reality. We know that ultimate reality is the truth. So we know, for example, here, there is no such thing as a mistake, actually. So right as we know there is no such thing as a mistake, we examine our past mistakes without regretting them and without mulling over in them, moaning and groaning, and learning from them and moving on. So we dip in and then move on to our past mistakes. That's what I would say. So, but that's not dwelling. So I'm not going against the precept. So why am I saying all of this? You're right. Dogen just didn't answer Ajo at all. Ajo had a super good point, and he kind of got sidelined. And so the only thing I can say is that the assembly had already listed, it had already been listed to the assembly, all the points, pro and con. So I don't know, maybe Dogen felt, well, we've already said all that, so I'm going to say something else. I want to encourage you to continue to think about this because it brings up so many Dharma points and it will help you to internalize all of these Dharma points that that are gates for awakening. This is why we're doing this. So I encourage you during the week to reflect on these things, and a lot of this will be posted so that you can go back and remember what who made what point. So I see that the time is up, and I want to be sure to thank you very much for you who are attending right now, you who attend during the week, and for my team, Brendan and Brian and Sahar, for making these talks possible. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.